for you. Isn't the Lord good to us? I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord this morning. Chapter 9 of Acts. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue. He is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? So there's been quite a change here in some people's minds. But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying awake was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by the night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Now I've read a long amount of verses so that you would get the idea of the context of the setting here this morning. These verses, as we determine, if you go back past 17, you get Paul's encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. And actually, he was going to Damascus to persecute the saints of God. And he had quite a change there. And as 17 tells us, he was doing what the Lord told him to do. Go into Damascus, and he would find Ananias, and he would tell him what he must do to be saved. These verses are finishing out the account of the conversion of Saul. Saul, who had been the persecutor of the church, now has this encounter with the Lord. I mentioned this in the reading. And there was a change that was taking place. People could see something had happened to him. Ananias baptizes him, and he is filled with the Holy Ghost. And Saul, the persecutor, gets a life-changing experience, a name change, if you will. And Saul, the persecutor, becomes Paul, the preacher. Right. My tongue all messed up here this morning. Paul, as we know, then is in the city of Damascus, where he was supposed to be, but he's there now for a different reason than what he started out for. And we know, we're not sure how long that Paul stayed in Damascus after his conversion. Verse 19 of these scriptures just records that he was with the disciples certain days. Now, other translations of this use the word some and several and a few days. Verse 23 tells us, calls it many days. So however long it was, 2, 3, a week, 7, 10, he was in Damascus many days. He was there a while, long enough for those that had been his friends to become his enemy. Those that knew him and what he was coming for, he had been there long enough that they had become his enemies. We can be sure, reading in this text, that there was no mistake concerning Saul's new identity. He had, in verse 21, destroyed them, the Bible says, that called on the name of the Lord. They acknowledged that that's what he had done. And then in verse 22, they said there's been a change because now he comes to prove the very thing that he was trying to destroy. And so there was a change. Verse 23 said in this change, those friends that were going to greet him became his enemy. And verse 23 said they sought to kill him. There was a plot started in their minds to get rid of Saul. Now, we know from verse 24 that Saul, or Paul, the same person here,
had got wind of this plot. He knew that they were looking for an opportunity to kill him.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
And so here he is in the middle of this undercurrent that's going on in the city. He wants to do the good work that he sent there now for the Lord, but the opposition wants him to do the work that he was originally sent there.
Right.
And they're out to kill him. And so Paul gets wind of this, Saul does, and that they were looking for an opportunity to kill him. Now, in Paul's mind, the main way out of a city of that day was the gate.
Right.
It was to go out the gate. And he got wind that they began to watch the gate closely. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul kind of talks about this experience. And there he tells us that the governor of the city was in on the effort to kill him because he sent soldiers to guard the gate and to watch out for Paul. Now, things was getting pretty tight on Paul here. The circumstances are getting pretty uncomfortable here. And his movement around in the daytime, and he was being watched, and rumors were going that his life was being threatened. And so the time had come for Paul to get out of the city. But the question came, how are we going to get out of the city?
Right.
I mean, they're guarding the gate. I just can't walk through the gate and say, well, hi and bye, I'm leaving this place. Because they were watching to take him captive and to kill him. Maybe he thought of a disguise, but he thought, well, there's too many people that know me. That I can't get away with that. Mm-hmm. And so something had to be done. Some plan had to be come up. How in the world was he needed to escape, but how was that going to happen? Verse 25 tells us how that it happened. The Bible said they took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Now, city walls were pretty thick in those days. Back in Jericho, they were built wide enough. One writer said that if you could build a racetrack, they were thick enough that four chariots could race around the walls and have a race. So they were built. We know that they built houses on top of walls. So they were pretty thick for the defense of the city. They were thick. They were high, usually enough to offer some kind of defense for the city. And houses were often built upon them. In 2 Corinthians 11 and 33, Paul mentions this incident. He says, he lets us know that it was through a window that they let him out. So we might think that they just dropped him over the side of the wall, but that was a long drop. And so they must have hid him some way in somebody's house, snuck him in there. And then Paul says in Corinthians, they put him out the window and lowered him in a basket. Now, we can assume that ropes or cords were used to lower the basket down the wall. I mean, that's common sense. You'd have to have a whole string of human arms reaching down a wall that was high enough for a defense. Now, you got to realize that if enemies come, it had to be high enough that they couldn't just reach up and climb over.
Right.
So I don't know how high the wall was, but it was pretty much. And so we can assume, though the Bible doesn't say, we can assume that they used a cord to lower the basket. Now we do know in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 15, I think it is, it says that that's the way that Rahab the harlot used to escape those men that had come to spy out the land, the children of Israel, to get them away. She hid them first, and then for them to escape, she let them out a window, and she let them down by a cord. I think that it's very important for us now, in all this talking that I've done, that we pay close attention, that we get our mind focused on these disciples in verse 25 that let Paul down the wall in the basket. Because these men and possibly women were the unnamed courageous men and women that were willing to risk their lives. If they got caught, they were going to die right along with Paul. but they were willing to risk their lives. Let's call them rope holders.
All right.
We're going to call them rope holders. Thank God for the rope holders that we have in the church. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank God for them. They were some of those unsung heroes that passed through the pages of Scripture and church history. The world knows nothing about them because we don't know nothing about their names. We don't know what they looked like or the kind of clothes they wore. They were just unnamed heroes of the Scripture. Hallelujah. Acts takes the time to tell us about Paul because we know about his travels and we know about the churches that he established. We know the books that he wrote. And in the books we find out a little bit about him. But these disciples in verse 25 were the unknown, unsung hero of the work of God. They don't get very much attention, but they are there, and I want you to know they are vital to the work of God. Hallelujah. 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 They are vital to the work of God. Their names will never be on a church sign. They will never be listed in some national magazine of Christianity. They will never be listed there. But the church needs them, and the Lord uses them to get His work done. Hallelujah. We hear about big names, but without these unsung, unnamed disciples, the work of God would not get done. I want you to know that God uses unnamed, unsung heroes to get His job done. Rope holders. Rope holders, if you please, in a dark world. Yeah, you're looking at me wondering, where in the world is he going with this? I want to tell you right now, I think right in this congregation are eyeballs staring at me that are rope holders. They don't ever get much attention. Their names never mentioned, but the work of God could not go on without you. Oh, hallelujah. Rope holders in a dark world. I want you to know that God uses them. God knows who you are, too. We may not know. We may not know, but God knows who you are. He knows because it's because of the rope holders that the churches get built and the work of God moves forward. God knows the people that keep the nursery. God knows the people that drives the buses. God knows the people that teaches the Sunday school classes. He knows those that cleans and repairs the church, that mows the yard, grabs hold of the horns of the altar in prayer, and in places that nobody sees, at home crying out to God that God will bless the church, holding up the pastor with their prayers and their words of encouragement. God knows who you are.
Yes, sir.
We don't ever get around and say, praise God, Sister Oakholder, I'm glad you're a part of this church. Thank God for your card. Thank God for your prayer. No, most of the time we just go unrecognized. You go unrecognized. You go, you come, and you do the work of God. You don't get any big rewards. You don't get up to sing and scare you to death to lead song service. You don't want that, but the work that you do is vital to the work of God. And you are needed in Apostolic Faith Tabernacle.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the rope holders. Thank God for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knows about those precious moms and dads that raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that teaches them faithfulness, that pours their life into them, praying for them and with them. The Lord knows who you are. He sees the tears that you cry over that lost loved one that's wandered off away from the church. And maybe God keeping them. They don't realize it. They never thank you. They don't say, Mom and Dad, thank you for praying for me.
Right.
The church doesn't say, thank you for praying for the youth. But God knows who you are. And maybe your prayers have kept them out of catastrophes. Out of situations that they don't know anything about. God knows who you are. Hallelujah. No one else may know when you carry food to some family, or you sit at the hospital hour after hour with some Christian friend. Nobody else may know the hours you spend on your knees praying for your church, praying for the man of God, praying for the souls to be added. He feels the anointing and wonder where it comes from. It comes from a rope holder, somebody whose name never gets mentioned, that's crying out to God, "We need you, rope holders!" Don't you let the devil discourage you. Don't you let the devil think that you're not worth anything in the church of God. You are important. Those unnamed disciples, the Bible didn't even name them, but they saved the Apostle Paul's life that night. Hallelujah. Are we doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Rope holders. Rope holders. I'm talking to you today. I'm not talking about entities out there 100 miles away. I'm talking to you today. God knows who you are. God knows who you are. He knows. Nobody else may know or see the support that you give. Your encouraging words, your love for the things of God. Nobody may know, but God knows who you are. God knows who you are. Everybody else may forget about your labor of love. No one may call your name from the pulpit. Put your name on the bulletin board. Put your name in the handouts. But that doesn't matter. What matters is that God knows who you are. And if nobody else cares, I want you to know that God cares. He cares about you. Hallelujah. You need to keep up the good work. There's nothing the devil wants to do more than to take those precious people, those humble, quiet people whose names never get mentioned. Sometimes we don't even know who they are. We just call them brother and sister, brother and sister, brother and sister. Well, how did that get? I don't know. Some brother and sister did that. Who took care of that? I don't know. Some brother and sister took care of that. Right. How did that get done? Who prayed that? Who? I don't know. Just some brother and sister. Their names may never get mentioned. But God knows who they are, and we need you. And the devil knows who you are, and he wants to discourage you. He wants to take you out of the equation. He wants you to stop praying. He wants you to stop cleaning the church. Stop driving the bus. Stop going into those in the hospital. Stop praying. He wants you to stop teaching your kids. He wants to destroy you. Yes, he does. Rope holders. Where are we at? Where's my father? Rope holders. I'm talking to you today. Hallelujah. Nobody sees your support. Nobody else may know, but God knows. Everyone else may forget all about the things that you've done. They may not even notice. Sometimes we come in and the church is clean and we take it for granted. Well, it's just that way. I guess some way it just cleans itself. It's always clean. I'm trying to encourage somebody. God knows who you are. Listen to the word. God knows. And God cares if nobody else does. Listen to the words of Hebrews 6 and 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." The today's English version says it this way. God is not unfair. Yeah. You rope holders have heard that. Yes, you have. Yeah, come on, be honest with you. You've heard it. Because the devil's done the told you that.
Yeah. Well, it ain't fair. You know, you work for him, though.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Yeah, I'm not ignorant of his devices. He wants to discourage you. He knows how important you are. He knows who you are. God's not unfair. The Word of God wants us to know that. Now listen to it. He will not forget the work you did or the love you showed for him in the help you gave and are still giving to your fellow Christian. There's going to be a payday coming someday. If it's never down here, it's down there.
That's right.
There's going to come a time when we all stand before him and God's going to know who you are and the labors you've done. the works that you did unseen. You didn't ask for recognition. You didn't want recognition. You was just doing the work of God. Rope holders. God knows who you are. God knows who you are.
Right.
It doesn't matter who gets credit. Doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter who gets recognized. It doesn't matter who gets the title or the position. Most rope holders don't really want that.
Right.
What we need is just to keep holding on to the rope. I don't know how many might have had a hold of it. A basket fall may not have weighed very much. But I tell you, there were only one or two. Probably there was rope long enough that several was holding. And you would let slip a little bit, you know, and move toward the wind. But nobody wanted any drop. If somebody let go of the rope, what would have happened to Paul? 10 or 12 foot drop, it wouldn't have been a pleasant landing, would it? He might not have gotten away. Rope holders. Rope holders on a dark night. You are important to God. You are known of God. And the church needs you. And the work of God's got to have you for it to prosper to go on. Hallelujah. Rope holders. Rope holders in a dark world. Now that we know, we got one lady, I don't want to forget her. I said this was a throwback. About 7 years ago, I kind of brought this little concept to the church. And Sister Linda was the one the other day. She still got her original little piece of rope. And the card. Remember when we made the card stuff? She's still a card carrying rope holder. So what we're going to do, now that we know what we are, now that we know who we are, we're going to kind of open things up and not start, kind of start it, but we're going to open up for some new recruits to come in. And we're going to form the Rope Holders Club of Ferndale, Michigan. Amen. The Rope Holders Club. We're going to add people today to the Rope Holders Club of Ferndale. I didn't make any cards this time. But I do have an identity for you. Just so you won't forget who you are. Everybody gets a role. That wants to be. You know, most people that serve, the servant doesn't really expect anything. They just do it because that's what they want. When you get the Holy Ghost, or at least back today when I got it, you just but we just want to do anything good for us. And I have, you got the Holy Ghost, you know, anything, you start picking paper up, you know. You even dug the chewing gum out from under the benches you sit on, which is not a good. Y'all don't remember that, do you? Rope holder. I want you to take a rope holder. I want you to be a part of the rope holder. Maybe you hold another position in the church, but you still pray. You can still send those cards to pastor. You can make a condition to bind your head out of it. You can make a job to pray at home. So nobody hears you. Nobody knows nothing about it. You're on your knees. Say, God, you send the anointing to my pastor. Come on. My man of God, the word of you.
Right.
But that won't do no good. That's just the devil
talk. That's right.
This church and every church that's established are where they are because they are local. They are unnamed, unsung heroes. Hallelujah. That don't get much credit. In history, they're not mentioned in the history of the church structure or the church. This was the song leader. This is the assistant. This was the board. But underneath all of that is the rope holder. Let's raise your hand and ask the Lord to help us this morning. God.